Hi, welcome to The Heart of It. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Hart. On this show, I bring you phone interviews with experts in the fields of nutrition, alternative methods of healing, and relationships, so that you can have this information available when you make decisions about your health, heart, and home. I'm a psychologist, a wife, a mother of two teenagers, and I've been using alternative medicine for my family and friends for over 30 years, and so I bring these perspectives and experience to my show. You'll find more information about my guests and topics on my website, theheartofit.com. That's heart spelled H-A-R-T. And I hope you'll check out the archives here on healthylife.net also to hear my other programs that you might have missed. Today, we're exploring the five elements that form the basis of Chinese medicine with my guest, Dr. Charles Moss. He's written a book, which is not yet published, about how each of these five elements correspond to how people respond differently to stress. We're doing something a little bit different with this program than we have with others. I normally schedule one program per guest, but in this case, when I was speaking with Dr. Moss, I realized that it was just too much to cover in one program. When we talked about his adaptation types, it just sounded like too much for people to get a grasp of the underpinnings and the adaptation types in one show. So this show is going to explore the five elements and give you an understanding of Chinese medicine and the basis of Chinese medicine. And then the next show, next week, will be about the adaptation types. And I want you to be sure to listen to that show because that's when you'll be able to take this information to the next level. As you know, I take great pride in the caliber of guests I bring to my show, and Dr. Moss is an example of that. He has been practicing integrated medicine and five-element acupuncture for over 30 years. He received his medical degree from the State University of New York at Buffalo School of Medicine. He is board certified in family practice, environmental medicine, medical acupuncture, and has a master's degree in acupuncture. He is a fellow in both the American Academy of Environmental Medicine and the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture. He founded and serves on the board of directors of the American Holistic Medical Association and the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture. He is the founder and director of the Five Element Acupuncture Physicians Training Program and is an instructor at the UCLA School of Medicine Medical Acupuncture for Physicians Program. He is a member of the American College of Advancement in Medicine, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and the American Medical Association. He lectures widely on nutritional medicine, environmental medicine, and the use of acupuncture in an integrative medicine setting. He has authored numerous articles on the use of alternative and complementary medical therapies and five-element acupuncture in primary care. Dr. Moss, welcome to The Heart of It.
Thank you, Linda. Very pleased to be here.
I would urge my listeners to go to my website to see even more about you. I couldn't even read it all on this show, or I don't think we'd ever get to the interview.
All right.
You're so highly trained. I wanted to ask you about this UCLA School of Medicine Medical Acupuncture for Physicians program.
Yes.
Is that something that you're integrating Chinese medicine into a physician's program, or are these additional years of training that these physicians are taking?
Well, this is a postgraduate program for physicians already in practice who are interested in acupuncture and who come back to do this extra work to learn this. And it's a very, very successful, very popular program. There's been thousands of physicians over the last 15 years of trained in acupuncture through this program. It's been very successful.
How large is that program?
Well, each year there could be up to 300 to 400 physicians going through it. And then afterwards, if they're interested in this, the type of acupuncture that I teach, which is the five-element acupuncture system, we teach teach them through our own training program here in San Diego, and that is sort of a postgraduate approach. That the physicians who are interested in that are often people that really want to work comprehensively with patients and understand why they're not dealing well with stress or why they're getting sick more easily than they should be.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. We're going to be going to just a short break, and we'll come right back and learn about the five elements of acupuncture with Dr. Charles Moss. We're back with Dr. Charles Moss. One of the things that I believe in very strongly is integrative medicine. Dr. Moss, as you heard in the introduction, is a MD and an acupuncturist. And I'm just wondering, Dr. Moss, how you got interested in Chinese medicine.
Well, even in medical school, I was had a different mindset about what I wanted to learn. My interest was why people got sick, not just how to diagnose them and use medication or surgery. And at that time, and I was in medical school in 1968, the models that I was seeing were not really adequate to address it. It was a disease model, not a health model. And fortunately, after moving on in my residency training and I lived in Hawaii, I was exposed to acupuncture and Chinese medicine at a Kaiser hospital, of all things. And what I realized was that in the history of Chinese medicine and the depths of what it provides is a way to understand why people are vulnerable to illness. One of the quotes that comes from the ancient texts is, a person is not sick because they have a disease. They have a disease because they are sick, meaning that lifestyle plays a role, but also vulnerability to illness is something that's identified and addressed through the five-element acupuncture system. So my interest in this was sparked about the fact that we can work with people and not with diseases. And that, I think, is the basis of all of integrated medicine. It's just as the oldest and most effective form that I have run into.
I think that's so important because the whole focus in our culture seems to be on the germs, you know, kill the germs, be scared of the germs, and yet with any germ, 100% of the people don't get sick when they're exposed to it. Some people get exposed, you know, some people do get sick and some people don't, and there's got to be something that we can do about our vulnerability to getting sick, like you said. That's so important.
Yes.
How do the five elements play into this philosophy, though?
The most important part of these ideas, and these are very old ideas, they come from the Han Dynasty in approximately 400 BC, so they've been around for 2,500 years, is that the system allows us clinically to develop a constitutional approach to treatment and to understanding what makes people vulnerable to stress or disease. And that's what's lacking in Western medicine and also in other Chinese medical approaches. The five elements were a major part of the philosophy of ancient China, describing natural laws that affect and organize what we see in nature and what happens to us as individuals. The five elements are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, and have correspondences, for example, to seasons. The seasonal correspondences for the wood element is spring, and the seasonal correspondence for the metal element, for example, is fall. Now, we all can understand the difference that we feel and that we see out in nature in those times of the year, the wood element corresponding to the spring, a time where things are new growth, plants are sprouting, the day is getting longer, people feel more energetic, that spring fever that we all had in college, that whole sense of wanting to go out to do more, to accomplish more. The correspondences in the individual that is so useful and the way we use it to understand why people are vulnerable to stress, for example, or age prematurely, are things that have to do with the behavioral, psychological, and emotional state for each of these elements. Again, the wood element, let me just talk about that, correspondences spring, but it also has correspondences in terms of the individual having the ability to make good plans and decisions, to be able to have goals that they want to reach, to be able to see how to reach them, to be flexible, to be able to express their emotional states in a healthy way. And in Chinese medicine and five element system, all of those qualities are described with each of the elements. So the springtime, the time that we feel expansive and active, is balanced by the fall, where the leaves are changing, the light's getting less, the dark days are getting darker. The metal element, and that has to do with the lungs and the colon, related to the fall, is a time of letting go. So people that have difficulty with sadness and grief and melancholia and aren't able to let go of things that upset them, or actually on the other side, get to be too much of a perfectionist and not being able to accept the way things are, those are correspondences for the metal element. So each of these elements have deep behavioral and attitudinal correspondences that really set us up for long-term stress responsiveness and ultimately illness. Here's an example of a patient, and we'll talk about one other element, the water element, which is related to the time of year, the winter, and related to the kidney and the bladder function. This patient I had been treating for a while, and because her constitutional pattern was what we call a water constitutional pattern, she had a fair bit of anxiety, she had chronic fatigue states, she was always mistrusting that life was going to be okay. That goes with that patterning. And then one day, while she's sitting in her house, somebody in her neighborhood went on a rampage and started shooting through the front windows of various houses. Now, we all would be very shocked by that, and I think we'd all be very shook up. Now, she wasn't hurt. She wasn't even nearby. But what happened with her is because of her constitution and because of the fact that her pattern was one of not really trusting deeply in life and being able to feel confident and have faith that everything is supportive for her and have the wisdom of understanding that, she developed a fairly severe post-traumatic stress response leading to hypertension, cardiac arrhythmias, and severe fatigue, which led her back to seeing me for further treatments. That we were able to treat this quite well, and she did eventually recover from this. But that's just an example of how we use this information to not only organize how to treat somebody with acupuncture, but in the book that I'm writing, how people kind of start to identify their own patterns to see why they're vulnerable to certain stresses and how they can adjust this so that they don't end up with a chronic illness or premature aging or the results of chronic stress, which is elevated cortisol and other stress hormones, which I'd like to talk about at a later time, maybe in the next show.
And can you tell us more? You went over wood, water, and metal. Can you tell us more about fire and the earth element also?
The fire element, and each of these elements has correspondences in different organ systems. The wood, for example, is the liver and the gallbladder. The fire element has to do with the heart, small intestine. It's, again, this correspondences of the fire is the seasonal correspondences is summer. The emotional and behavioral aspect of fire has to do with relationships and opening one's heart, being loving, and being having a sense of generosity, and also on the other side, not feeling excessively vulnerable to emotional injuries, so to speak. So people who have the patterning with the fire constitutional type can be very shy or anxious, can be or the opposite. Sometimes they're the life of the party. But underneath all of that, for most fire root factors, is the ability to develop very much open-hearted and deep, intimate relationships. And that's the essence for the fire pattern. And then the earth pattern we talked about, we'll talk about, is got to do with nourishment and stability and security. It has to do with the stomach and the spleen meridians. And so people that feel that they don't really get enough for themselves or feel a bit needy or they don't get enough attention paid to themselves or aren't getting their needs met are patterns that we see with the earth element. And then the metal we talked about, which is related to fall, and then the water with the winter. Now, these are obviously very brief glimpses into how we use this clinically and how I'm using this with the book I'm writing.
I know you gave me years ago on one of my shows, I talked about you. You played a pivotal role in my life. And that may be, you know, another example of integrative medicine or how there's a different way of looking at things. I was having trouble getting pregnant. And when I went to the top medical specialist of fertility in town, he said, stop everything. You need to do testing. We need to do a laparoscopy. We have to figure out what the problem is. And the same week, I went to you. And when you did an evaluation, you said, gee, I thought I was going to treat you for infertility, but actually you're so exhausted you wouldn't get pregnant if you were 19. I still remember your exact words. And you treated me for fatigue, and in 2 weeks I was pregnant.
Yes.
And it really made quite a difference, I know, in my life, and that's one of the reasons that I'm doing this show.
Uh-huh.
It's because of people like you and the experiences I've had that have been so positive and have really changed my life. There's a question that I've always wondered about that maybe you can clarify for me. I can understand why the Chinese would say water, you know, call the water element, you know, with the kidneys and the bladder. And I can understand the fire with the heart, you know, and the passion, and earth kind of with the center, and then, like you said, the nourishment of your stomach. I never understand the wood and the metal exactly, why they say liver with wood and why they say metal with the large intestine with
metal
and the lungs?
The colon and the lungs, and the skin actually is another correspondence for it.
Can you help us, you know, maybe other listeners also have trouble kind of making that connection, and then I can remember it better.
Well, if the question is why is it called a metal element in relationship to these organs, it's really the opposite question, and that's the way it's really laid out. The metal element has a series of correspondences, and like I mentioned, the simplest one for all of us to think about is the seasonal correspondence. But the other correspondences for the metal, which is the colon and the lung, which are both organs of elimination in a sense. You know, we breathe out carbon dioxide. The colon is obviously an organ of elimination. And it's a time of the seasonal energy of letting go, like I mentioned, the sense
of
clearing, of letting go what's not needed. And the other part of the energy is to find what's valuable within all of us, that preciousness. And it's the same sense of the metal is the preciousness in the earth. We think of the rubies and diamonds and sapphires and that quality of, at the same time we are eliminating what's not needed, what's the dead material, what's on really the old emotions and the grudges and the upsets. Other side of the function of this element is to really respect oneself, respect others, and to recognize the quality in oneself and to recognize what's valuable. And that's where people get lost. And those can develop depression and be sort of melancholy and also can get to be emotionally quite rigid and a little bit moralistic about what's pure and what's right and what's righteous. And those are things that are so important to look at because we don't understand the connection in Western culture between mind and body at all. But in Chinese medicine, there was never a separation between mind and body and spirit.
Dr. Moss, we have to go to a break again. What you're saying is so true, and we will talk more about how Chinese medicine melds mind and body together and does not separate them the way Western medicine has. Just after this break. And we're back with more of The Heart of It with Dr. Charles Moss. And so, Dr. Moss, you were just saying about how Chinese medicine does not separate mind and body. Would you like to, is there more that you wanted to say about that?
Yes, it's such a different idea that we are energetic beings, that the body energy, which is called chi energy, and that's one aspect of life. It's the animating life force that in Western medicine we have no equivalent whatsoever for this. You know, we look at organs, and that's, you know, when the heart stops beating, we don't live. But in Chinese medicine, the animation of life is from qi, and that we can measure this to some degree, and I'll maybe come back to that later. But my understanding and experience with this, that it's been so valuable for me personally and professionally in working with my patients, is the fact that there is no separation between mind, body, and spirit. They're all manifestations of energy. And in Chinese medicine, there's, in this form of it, in any case, there's an approach to even treating what's considered spirit-level disorders. And we'll, there's a question I'd like to go over that later with in terms of what is meant by that. But this is really the root of all of thoughts from traditional Chinese medicine, that we are one body, mind, spirit being. There isn't room to separate it, and separation is totally artificial.
Is this unique to Chinese medicine?
Well, I can't say I've done enough comparative studies to look at all the different cultures, but I'm just comparing it to how we think in the West and how I was trained in medical school in my residency programs, and the whole idea of spirit, especially in Western medicine, has been in a way separated out from the realm of the physician and given to a more of a religious. And I'm not talking in a religious sense. The spirit qualities that are talked about in Chinese medicine, it's an energetic function. It's the essence of who we are. It's a refined energy that's at the root of how we operate day to day. And that each of the elements has a specific aspect of that that helps us stay healthy and helps us stay adapted.
I love learning about this. I hope that my listeners are enjoying this as much as I am. I just love how the body and the mind interact, and, you know, just having a way to conceptualize that, like Chinese medicine. It's just such a wonderful body of knowledge. You have a term here of the, and I'm wondering what you mean by it, knowing how to be. And I was wondering how that, how you use that in your practice.
Yeah, that's a term that is throughout the great texts of Chinese medicine, again, written around 400 BC. It's called the Yellow Emperor's Classic of Chinese Medicine, and that's the basis of all Chinese medicine. When they use the term knowing how to be, it's incredibly similar to the very cutting edge of what we call psychoneuroimmunology in Western medicine, the true mind-body-spirit connection. Knowing how to be, and here's a quote from the ancient text, is knowing how is the maintenance of life, to harmonize elation and anger, to be calm in activity as in rest. In this way, having deflected the perverse energies, there will be long life and everlasting vision. And what they're saying, and this is why I get so excited and see so many incredible results with this information, is that if we first work on these attitudes and beliefs and behaviors that promote what's called adaptation, which is another term that they use throughout their language, which now is the whole stress literature and current thinking is all around adaptation, that we will live to be healthier and having longer life, and as they call it, everlasting vision. So now these are very familiar terms to us, things like optimism, ability to recover from loss. Each of the elements has a knowing how. For example, the wood element, which I mentioned earlier, which is related to liver, gallbladder, springtime, etc. The knowing how in wood is to be flexible, to have forgiveness, to be able to express one's emotions, to maintain a healthy anger, to have decisiveness, to be able to make clear decisions. Those are the knowing hows that go with the wood element. And each of them, each of the elements has that set of things. I can go through that if you think it would be useful. The fire element gives us our ability to have optimism, passion, enthusiasm. capacity for love and intimacy, and the earth element brings the emotional and physical nourishment, but also our ability to care for others, to have empathy and understanding, and to commit to something bigger than oneself, which is very important with the earth element. When they're out of balance, they tend to get very self-absorbed or selfish or needy. The metal element gives us our sense of self-worth, our resilience, our ability to recover from loss, and our connection to the true meanings in of life. And the water will bring deep faith and trust and the ability to overcome, to survive adversity, to transform ourselves with wisdom. So the underpinnings of staying healthy is based in these qualities, and that you can see if somebody's not able to access these abilities within themselves, it starts the whole cascade of stress responsiveness and then chronic disease. And again, which is at the heart of what my book is going to help people understand, is how to maintain these qualities in order to prevent illness.
Now, if someone is weak in one of these elements and does not attend to it, does it tend to affect the other elements like a set of dominoes, it makes the next go out of whack and the next, or do they tend to just stay isolated and you just end up with, say, liver disease, or one of your organs will just go out?
No, it really is, it's connected. I think the greatest image I've seen is it's like a ring that has no beginning and no end. When the wood energy or the liver energy is not healthy, it can manifest anywhere. You can have heart disease, you can have ulcerative colitis. But more commonly, you would see the symptoms related to that particular system. And in Chinese medicine, for example, in the wood element, the most common symptoms related directly to that are things like migraines, headaches, visual problems, problems in the musculature, fibromyalgia, for example, or muscle spasms, or chronic cramping, or in certain cases, certain types of digestive disorders. So it's a very good question, Linda. And clinically, when you're addressing this and when I'm teaching physicians how to do this, you see both people who have the symptoms primarily related to their root constitutional imbalance, but also you can see it elsewhere. And I think it's important.
Dr. Moss will be back to speak to you more in just a minute. We're back speaking about the five elements of Chinese medicine with someone who really knows, Dr. Charles Moss, who is both an MD and an acupuncturist and teaches other physicians about the value of Chinese medicine in their practices. Dr. Moss, before we get through, I've been so fascinated with what you're saying that I haven't asked you to give your contact information in case people want to get in touch with you.
Yes, I practice in La Jolla, California, and the phone number is 858-457-1314.
And you also are going to have a book coming out, but do you know the time frame of that yet?
I'm hoping to have it out early next year.
If you're listening, kind of check every so often for a book by Dr. Charles Moss, because I'm sure it'll be excellent. And maybe we can have you back again when the book comes out so that we can talk about that more.
Sure.
So, Dr. Moss, how is it that we do get out of balance with these elements? How do we lose our ability to adapt and be flexible?
Well, that's a good question. And the concepts in Chinese medicine are not dramatically different than deep psychological understanding, I think, in the West. We all have certain tendencies to have one of these energetic patterns be vulnerable even early in our lives, first few years. And I hear this over and over in the histories, that a lot of times it comes from early childhood traumas, poor parenting, big emotional events, or other physical traumas that starts the manifestation of the imbalance to come into clinical view. An example is a woman
that... Could it even happen in utero?
There's also some feelings that there's actually almost an inherited pattern energetically of where you might be most vulnerable. And even if there was no particular events, and I see that also, but most people who I end up seeing as patients, they're here to see me because they've had problems that haven't resolved on their own, or physicians can't help them, or drugs can't help them. So I often see a lot of people with complicated histories, and a typical kind of patient history is a woman who is an earth root factor who grew up in a family with a mother who is an alcoholic. The earth element root has got to do with adequate maternal caring and maternal patterning. And that's also part of traditional Chinese thought. So the stomach and spleen energy is dependent on having adequate mothering, literally, as a child. Now, she grew up with this situation with an alcoholic mother who really wasn't able to attend to her needs. And typically what happens is she developed chronic digestive problems over her lifetime, severe fatigue, and a sense that she was never getting her needs met. And so she had a lot of behavior around that that was somewhat self-destructive in a sense, and really difficult in maintaining good relationships, even though she did get married and had a child. When she came to see me, she had pretty severe digestive problems and chronic pain and fatigue, and really wasn't able to get a picture of what this was about for her. But as we went through this information, and she could see from her history and her pattern that it was about these correspondences and aspects for the earth element, about getting nourished, about getting one's needs met, about having people understand what's going on with you, she got so much better, even without doing acupuncture, that she was able to really improve dramatically. So when we lose our adaptation, we lose this knowing how, as the Chinese say, we develop a certain view of the world, a lens through which we see life that is colored by the imbalance energetically that we have. So the wood root factor, again, talking about the wood element, might be somebody who sees the world as a bit of a combat zone, fighting to get what their way, fighting to be able to get what they want to have happen. And sometimes that could be a person that's quite aggressive, or a type A personality, very driven, and have problems with emotional expression and getting angry a lot, and sometimes developing even the qualities which are called hostility. So again, I don't want to simplify this and think there's only, you know, five types of people in the world. That's absolutely the opposite of what this is about. We're all different, but there is some commonality, and this language and this map that I'm presenting is a way to see that. And that's what we often lack. If we can see ourselves with some objective information, we can make changes, and that's why people get healthy.
You know, we just have a minute left here, but I was curious. You know, what you said was that the earth is affected by the maternal patterning, and I was wondering, you didn't say parenting, you said maternal, and I was wondering now, does the fathering affect one of the other elements?
The metal element is traditionally considered reflecting the fathering. Now, this could happen no matter what the gender is of the parents, in a way, but there are certain qualities the father brings. The acknowledgement of who you are, the respect, and also the discipline, to know the boundaries. Those are all qualities that come from the metal element. And that could come from the mother, but typically, you know, in the Chinese concepts, that would come more from the father interaction with the child.
That's very interesting. I'm glad we're going to have two shows with you, Dr. Moss, because I'm just bursting with questions. We'll be back in just a moment after a short break. And we're back with Dr. Charles Moss talking about the five-element theory of acupuncture. And he is a medical doctor, so he practices truly integrative medicine at the highest level. Dr. Moss, I'm wondering now, is the five-element theory of acupuncture, now is that a little different than the way, is that the way all acupuncturists think of Chinese medicine, or is this a little bit of a different take on this information?
Well, it's an interesting history. This is a very old traditional system that had been lost in China in the 18 or 1900s when the Western powers occupied parts of China, but continued to be practiced in Japan and Korea. Eventually, I learned this in England from an English physician who had studied in Korea and also in Europe. But in China these days, since the communists took over in 1949, the idea of the deeper spiritual or psychological aspect of health was very much downplayed to simplify acupuncture and make it more accessible and available to the millions and millions of people who needed it. So a lot of Chinese medicine, the way it's practiced in the U.S. now, is based more on that current model of acupuncture and not on these older traditional patterns that we talked about on this show. So some of the finest acupuncturists in the world are now in Europe and not in China. And it's a very interesting juxtaposition that things have sort of traveled around the globe that way. I think the biggest difference is with this system, we're always looking to treat the root issues for the person, like I talked about. Whereas a lot of times in acupuncture done elsewhere in other ways, you're really more interested in treating symptomatically and trying to clear the particular syndrome that is affecting the person in terms of why they have a headache or why they have muscle pain. But don't get to this deeper root that I think is so important to work with.
I think that's so important because most people that I speak to who have put their trust in Western medicine, when they go to the doctor, whether it's for a heart attack or a kidney problem, they're told, well, you know, don't eat this substance, it'll be bad for you, or we took it out, we did the surgery, now you're okay. But it sounds to me like if someone comes to you in that situation, that's not the kind of answer they're going to get.
Well, I think you have to do it all. I'm not downplaying at all the usefulness of Western medicine, but I think you need to then take it to the next step and say, what's this about for you? And look at it in as big a picture as you can get, whether it's from a patterning somebody's had their whole lives or current stress. I'm very focused on why people get their problems when they get them as well and what stresses they're under and how they can manage things. It's just overlooked over and over again in Western medicine. And good family practice approaches looks at the whole system a person lives in. And if people would only do that, I think we'd save a lot of lives and prevent a lot of illness. And the Chinese model for this is absolutely the most brilliant model that I have seen in approaching this.
What do you do to keep learning?
To keep learning?
Because you know so much.
Well,
do you have masters that you still train with, or do you read, or is it just experiential now, I'm wondering?
Well, I keep learning from my patients, to be quite honest, because every time I see a new patient, everybody's unique. And my patients teach me a tremendous amount all the time. And, you know, I think that's my greatest learning. I also learn a lot by continuing to teach this, and that's been wonderful. And I keep uncovering new translations of the ancient texts and other ideas that people have about how to use this information, because we're just starting to scratch the surface, literally, of how to use this. So I do still learn all the time, and I think I'm always willing to look at different ideas of how to approach my patients and how to work with people.
That's so important. I'm so glad to have you on my show. So tell us what we're going to be talking about with you on the next show.
Well, I want to go into the specifics of these, what I call the adaptation types that I've developed to use this information on your own so you don't have to go to see me or another physician. I also want to make the bridge between this information and current ideas about what happens to us from stress, because ultimately when we lose our knowing how to be and we're not adapted, the outcome is physiologically a stress response that is the root of all chronic disease. Every study that I've seen shows that too much cortisol, which is the main stress hormone, is linked to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, depression, anxiety, essentially every major ill that we deal with as a culture. So I think it's very important to see the connection and what else we can do to manage that. There's dietary information that I want to go over. There are certain nutrients and supplements that can help modify the cortisol response and link these two things together.
And are there going to be different nutrients for different adaptation types then?
Not specifically. I think we don't need to do that. There are generally a way of conducting your dietary habits that reduces cortisol, and then there are specific nutrients if you have gotten to the point of being maladapted that need to be brought in.
I can't wait for that show. It's going to be a long week waiting to talk to you again. Thank you so much, Dr. Moss. You know, you're very dear to me because I wouldn't have my daughter without you. That's how I always think of it. So I'm so glad to be able to have this time to talk to you and learn more about what you do. And I just so appreciate your intelligence and your continuing curiosity because that's we need people like you.
Thank you very much, Linda. I appreciate being on the show.
Well, good. And so we'll talk some more next week.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll be back in just a moment to wrap it up. Well, that closes another show of The Heart of It. I want to thank Dr. Moss for being with us. You can understand why I invited him onto my show. He's at the cutting edge of an alternative medical revolution that's helping people achieve optimal health through nutrition and environmental medicine, acupuncture, and anti-aging medical therapies. I love his intelligence and his curiosity, and I hope that you learned as much on this show as I did and that you will seek alternative care if you do have a serious medical problem or maybe to prevent one. If you can understand how if you go to someone like him, you can correct an imbalance before it manifests in a serious disease. Until next week, thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again for more of The Heart of It.